I'll just like a little prayer before we begin. Father God, we thank you for this time to be together to think about your glorious kingdom all over the world. And I pray that you will open my eyes even as I share the great things that you have shown me and you have done these many years. Bless us with your presence now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, folks, I have had a most unusual journey in my life, and 13 years with the Christian Broadcasting Network, responsible for all of the productions and programming for the network, even got to host the 700 Club many hundreds of times and see that great network rise up from being about 4 full-time employees to over 1,000 employees and a great worldwide ministry when I resigned to go to India to find a way to bring the story of Jesus and his love to people who had never heard it before. And so that's a little bit of what I want to share with you this morning. And if you'll close your eyes as I type in my password. Let's see if that works. Well, it just shows you what I know about my password. Okay, got that right. This is a short video about the idea the Lord gave me to tell the story of Jesus to people who had never heard it even one time. And that idea was to make a movie on the life of Jesus, acted with all Indian actors, produced in India, and made by Indian filmmakers. And the way the Lord gave me this idea and the way I orchestrated it by his grace is what I'll tell you about this morning a little bit more, and the power of the gospel. But just look at this and it'll give you a little introduction into what happened. What an awesome report we have for you today here from India. One of the questions I'm often asked is, John, are you still doing that India thing? Because I know that they don't really understand, but we're taking the love of Jesus Christ into the villages, telling people who have never heard the gospel even one time that God loves them, that Jesus died for them, that they're made in the image of God. You know, the religions in India don't teach that God loves. They teach that God many times hates you. He despises you. But when we come with this message, our teams share the love of Jesus. It lifts these villagers up. Not only do our teams go into the villages and show this powerful movie Dayasaga that just transforms lives instantly on the spot. People say, can this Jesus help me? Can he touch me? And they exercise their faith and he changes their lives. But our teams are going into the village to demonstrate the love of Christ, to lift them up through the love of God by their own incarnation of the gospel. So they do micro-enterprise, helping people to lift themselves up financially, self-help groups, and their clinics to touch the physical needs. And these schools, 30,000 children being given an English medium education. This is the gospel. The entire gospel is in word and in deed, and they are lifted up by the love of Christ through our teams. We've been praying that the Lord would send this year over 1,000 laborers into this amazing harvest field in India, and look what we have here. We have nearly 500 of these wonderful young men and women who are willing to take Dayasaga into the villages, and we want to pray for them, support them, believe God for great miracles in their lives, and help them to reach many more with the love of Jesus. We're rejoicing because of what he's doing in this nation through this powerful movie. And he's calling these young men and women to go take this movie and show it to the people. Show them the birth of Jesus. Show them his boyhood, his ministry, how he loved the people, how he healed the blind and the leper, and the woman with the issue of blood, and how he was tormented and beaten for their sins and lifted on that cross, and how he rose again from the grave and ascended. And oh, how the people are moved by this movie. And these young men and women are the laborers in the harvest field. We want to pray for them. We want to continue to support them and believe in them and give them the confidence to keep going. They're willing to go if we will send them. And God is answering our prayers. Jesus said, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the field. And this is a result of prayer. And the village, when they see the Dayasaga, people come to faith. That's a result of prayer. We can't underestimate the power of prayer. And so today in India, tens of thousands every night, hundreds of thousands every month, millions every year are hearing the story of Jesus and how his love lifts them. And this is the day the Lord has made. And I'm going to ask them to sing that song right now.
It's the day that the Lord has made.
And your investments in India and our film teams has helped to reach tens of millions of people. And on behalf of the hundreds and hundreds of young men and women that are going out nightly and showing Dayasaga, thank you. Isn't that wonderful? This movie, Dayasaga, the word Dayasaga means oceans of mercy. Oceans of mercy. And it's made with Indian actors in India. It was released in the theaters of India. More than 17 million people saw it there. And then I helped organize mobile film teams using 16 millimeter projector and a generator and go out and set up a big screen in the village and advertise, come and see the greatest prophet who ever lived. And people would come, sometimes 200-300, sometimes as many as 5,000 would come to see this movie. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about how this came about, because it's truly an extraordinary thing that God has done. This movie has been seen now in the last 38 years by over 300 million people. It's in 14 major languages of India. It's a Bollywood-style movie made with Indian actors. We believe that 22 million, more than 22 million, have expressed a desire to be followers of Christ, to make him Lord of their life. We have now more like 5,000 congregations of people across India, and it's growing exponentially every year. This past year, this movie was shown to nearly 30 million people face to face. It's a simple idea that the Lord gave us. So I'd like to share with you a little bit about how that began and the impact of the gospel. How powerful is this gospel when we tell it simply and in a way people can understand it and relate to it in their culture? And so I have to go back to when I was a little boy, and it's not going to be a long story, so don't go to sleep on me now. But my mother became an invalid of rheumatoid arthritis when I was 7, 8 years old. She never walked again, and she became more deformed and crippled, and she only could lie there on that bed. She was on that bed day and night. But I learned later and understand today that her prayers have followed me all the world through. Because one of the things she prayed was, I hope and pray that my son will be a minister of the gospel. And I think her strong prayers reached out and pulled me back from the precipice of sin, if you will, that kept me from going astray. It was my mother's prayers. So when I say 300 million people have heard the story of Jesus and his love, I want to say I believe this is a result of my mother's prayers. It's also the result of another mother in India, the only Indian man that I knew at the time when I first went to India, Ernest, is his mother had been praying 50 years for her sons to be ministers of the gospel and for the gospel to come to her beloved nation. And all six of her sons went into ministry full time. And Ernest was the only Indian man that I knew at the time when I resigned my position at the Christian Broadcasting Network and flew to India to see how to make a motion picture on the life of Jesus made with Indian actors. But God used that mother, that praying mother of Ernest, to bring him into my life and to get me over to India. And then there was the mother of the man who made this movie, Vijay Chandra. His mother fasted and prayed while this Indian filmmaker, professional actor, went about making this movie, and she prayed for him. And when Vijay and I came together, oh, it's an amazing story. So three mothers behind this whole thing. I don't want to forget that as I tell you the story. So I was a little boy in my church, and an Indian man came to our church, and he began, I'm sorry, I won't make you have to pan the camera, I'll stay put. The Indian man came to our church, and he told about this strange subcontinent of India, and I told my friends that evening, one day I'm going to go to India and help people know about Jesus. And I didn't know it would be 30 years later before I would get there, but that's what started. When I was in college, I studied for one semester this nation, its culture, its people, its language, its origin, its religions, the government, all of these things, and I became more intrigued with the nation of India. And then as I was working at CBN, I began to think, we are bringing good news to people in the cities of America, but what about the, at that time, 700 million people in India that will never hear, many of them haven't heard. By the way, do you know that as many as 3 billion people on the earth have never really even know the name of Jesus? Really, they don't know who he is, what he's done for them. Today, there's still so many that are unreached in the world today. So I got a greater burden for India even while I was there, and I began to think about how I could reach them. But my own personal life was not right with God. I was just hungry to know Jesus as a real person, not as the historical figure, not as my knowledge in my head, but Jesus, I want to know you. And folks, I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I could tell you all of the details of it today. It would bless you so much. But I'm just going to condense it into this. After a year of praying and reading and searching and saying, God, you're out there, I know, but I don't know you personally. I had in a room, in an office, sitting at a desk, a time where Jesus really made himself real. I don't know if I had a real vision or if it was in the back of my head, but for me, it was actually on a blank white wall in front of me as I sat there praying with my eyes open. I saw the life of Jesus unfold in color for it seemed like 20 minutes. And at every scene, I would worship and praise him more. And I was so happy. I was even having tears coming down my face with joy that Jesus is real to me today. That I see, I believe, I know you. It's no longer this historical Jesus that I have studied about in the Bible. You are now manifesting yourself to me in a precious way. I thought I could ask him anything I wanted to in the whole world, and he would answer me audibly. Like, why did you make the universe the size that you made it? Or, you know, that kind of thing. But here's the question that came out of my heart. What will I be doing in 10 years? And for the first time in my life, I was 27 years old, I think. For the first time in my life, I thought I really heard in my own spirit, within me, a very clear instructions from the Lord. Go into the next room and love your brother. It was so profound, I jumped up and opened the door to a secretarial office next to this office I was in. Opened the door, and there was a Methodist minister actually on his knees on the floor. I don't know how he got there. I have a suspicion, but he was praying also. He was having his own personal experience, and it was just marvelous. We embraced each other. We laughed. We praised the Lord together at that time, and it was almost exactly 10 years later that I found myself in the village of India putting up the screen made out of bed sheets, 8 bed sheets that I had a tailor sew together to make a movie screen. And we were showing this movie for the very first time. And when I saw that movie on the screen that night with 2,000 Indians who had come from the villages around to watch this story, I realized, you saw this 10 years ago on that wall in that room. That vision transformed my life. So I didn't know what to do at that time. I continued to work after that vision experience, but I decided to go to Haiti on a short-term mission trip, and I asked the missionary that was guiding us there, Nick Gruick, to take me to the movie theaters so that I could see what kind of movies they were watching. I was interested. And that night I watched a movie from America full of gratuitous evil that these poorest of the poor had paid to see. And I was so upset that the greatest Christian nation in the world was exporting this kind of message to the people and asking them to pay for it. And I vowed that night, somehow, some way, I'm going to bring the gospel to screens like this in developing nations. And that's when I really got the idea to make a movie about Jesus with the Indian actors telling the story. You know, storytelling is the way the Bible is written. 70% of the Bible is stories. It is the way Jesus brought the message of eternal life to the people. Most people in the world, or many, I should say, are still oral learners. They won't read, they don't read, they can't read, but they can remember. We know the statistics. It's clear that people remember what they see and hear a lot more than if they just hear. So one of my favorite stories is the Samaritan woman and how Jesus did that very thing. He really sat down at the well and told her her life story in a nutshell and astounded her. But it was his methodology was storytelling always. Jesus did it in an unusual way. He kind of encountered people unexpectedly. They didn't really know he was going to show them what he was going to show them and reveal to them the truth of God. And that's the same thing that people happen in the villages. They come to see this movie, but they're not aware of what they're getting ready to see. They have no idea. They're just come to be entertained. But when they leave, they're shocked. They're stunned at what has happened during the life of Jesus. And they come, it's ordinary circumstances. They just finish their work out in the fields or wherever they're working. They come to sit down out in the open, and we put up a big screen between bamboo poles or coconut trees a lot of the time, and they sit down on the ground and enjoy the movie. And they don't expect what's going to happen, and it's unusual, just ordinary circumstances, just along the way of their normal life. And it might happen any day. It's not on Sunday necessarily. It's not a specific time. It might be Monday night at 8 o'clock. Sometimes our teams have shown the film 2 o'clock in the morning for certain reasons. And it's face-to-face because Jesus did that. He just confronted people. So when they're looking at that movie and they see Jesus doing the things he does, they're astounded. Many times they'll say after the movie to our film team leaders, "Can this Jesus help me? What village does Jesus come live in?" They just have such faith. It's amazing to watch. And it's contagious because they often go away after they've seen the movie. They're so excited about what they've seen and heard, they will tell others. And the next thing you know, we had one team had to show the movie 5 times within 24 hours because one person in the audience said, "You have to come to my village," which is some place away. And so the team would have to pack up and go 3 or 4 kilometers away and show the film again. And then later in the night, as late as 2 and 3 in the morning, and then the next morning, they would show it in some building or home. It's just amazing. People are hungry for the gospel. So, you know, as the idea churned in my mind about how to reach these millions of people that have never heard the gospel even once, I got uncomfortable. I couldn't take it much longer. And my wife said, "You just have to stop talking about this idea and get on a plane and go to India and see if God is really leading you." And so I resigned, went to India. This man that I knew, Ernest, was the only man that I knew. And the Lord told me about that time. He said, "You help Ernest with his ministry, promote his ministry, make a little video on his ministry, and I will bless you." So I went over with that idea in mind. We spent our own savings, and I was going to make his promotional video. The night I got into his village, after traveling for 35-36 hours, you know, flying and riding trains and buses and all, I got to his village in the evening. There was a billboard, a big billboard, promoting a movie. Jesus was pulling a cross in this billboard. I said to him, "What is this?" He said, "It's a new movie that's come out on the life of Jesus Christ this week." I said, "No, I can't. What do you mean?"
He said, yes. I said, you have to take me to see this movie. I was so disturbed because I was thinking, I've come to do this, to find out how to make a movie on the life of Jesus. And it's already, has it been done? Is it a good movie? Is it a bad movie? Is it biblical? Is it a Hindu movie that's distorting the life of Christ? I was so upset. I said, Ernest, you have to take me to see this movie. So he said, I can't do that. He said, if the Christians here that I lead find out I've gone to the movies, they'll kill me. Not really, but they were against going to the movies, you might say. So I said, well, put a bag over your head because we're going to see this movie. I have to find out what it is. So that night I watched a movie. 2,000 people were in the theater, and I watched as people cheered and applauded when Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple, when he healed the blind man, the woman with the issue of blood, this leper, when Jesus puts his arm around that leper. This is one of the greatest scenes in the movie for an Indian, because a leper is not only filthy and dirty, but untouchable in the most degree. As you know, there are many millions of people in India that are called still today untouchable. Untouchable. They call themselves Dalit, D-A-L-I-T, which means oppressed or crushed one. 250 million of these people. If you want to read about it, you can look up in the National Geographic 2003 edition, June, I believe it is, 27-page spread on the Dalits. But they are there in India to this day. And when they see Jesus put his arms around the leper, they say, this is impossible. God could not touch the untouchable, not touch this filthy person. But isn't that the message of the gospel, that he touches the untouchable, that he wants to embrace the most sinful, all of us who are the sinful ones? And so they are moved, and I saw these people begin to weep all around me. I was the only foreigner in this theater of 2,000 people who, a commercial theater. When Jesus was lifted up on the cross and dropped into the ground and his body jarred against the cross, they screamed out loud. I asked Ernest, what are they saying? He said, they're saying, why are they killing this innocent man? I knew that I was seeing the thing that I came to do. And when he rose from the grave, they applauded and cheered and whistled. And so I looked in the credits and I said, I have to find this man who made this movie. So I did, after a week, find him in another city in Chennai. It's called Old Madras, it was. And he met me at the airport and we went to the restaurant in the hotel, and I immediately said to him, Vijay, why did you make this film? You're a Hindu filmmaker. You are a famous actor. You played Clint Eastwood type roles and that sort of thing. But now he played the role of Jesus in the movie, and he produced the movie and directed it. And his immediate answer was, Jesus pushed me. I had never thought about what I would say next. It just came out of my mouth. Vijay, Jesus is pushing me too. You have to give me this movie. I'm going to see that it is shown in every village in India. I'd heard that there were 600,000 villages of India, but I didn't think about how much energy it was going to take and resources to do it. I just knew that God had given me an opportunity to fulfill that vision. What will I be doing in 10 years? So it was difficult to get him to agree about the buying the rights, but I bought the world rights to this movie in all languages, and I began to organize mobile film teams with a 16-millimeter projector. I convinced them that it was portable and lightweight, and actually it was over 100 pounds of film and equipment, a generator. But we organized, and we had actually over the years hundreds of teams. Today we have 600 teams showing it every night. And so there are three lessons that I'd like to leave with you today, three things that I get out of this. Number one, for all of us to understand, the gospel is the power of God. It's not our Christianity, not the organization of the church exactly. It is Jesus himself. It's not membership in an organization. And it's not emotional fervor that we might experience. But it's him and him alone. When we call, it said, if they call upon me, you'll be saved. So here's an example of what happened with one person in a village one night. My son, John Jr., and I were in a remote village with our film crew doing some documentary work on the ministry. And he was on the other side of the village. He came running to me and he said, "Dad, you've got to come over and meet this woman. You won't believe it." I ran over with him, and she was a cute little lady about this tall. Her name was Nagama. And there was a man that was traveling with us who could translate. And I stood there and asked, tell me your story. And she said she was had been worshipped in the village as a goddess. She would sit in front of the temple, and people would come and bring animal sacrifices, chicken, a goat, and they would kill the animal and worship. And she was worshipped like a goddess, and she had actually terrorized the whole village. She had them under her control and her spell, if you will. And sometimes she would, this is very gross, but she would grab the animal and drink the blood from the decapitated animal. It's a horrible thing to think about. Her sons were so afraid. They had left her, but she was in control of the village. And she said, this team came, these people came, and they put up this screen to show this movie. And I threatened them and told them to leave the village, but I got interested in the movie. And she said, as I watched the movie, now listen to me, my dear friends, what I'm about to tell you is the power of the gospel. It's the thing that every one of us, it registers with us. We understand it clearly ourselves. But here's a woman who's never heard Jesus' name. She's never seen a Bible. She's never heard a sermon. She's never been to Sunday school. She doesn't watch Christian television or radio. She hasn't heard a Christian song in her life. She is an idol worshiper. She believes in evil spirits. She is all completely lost, lost, lost. And here's what she said to me. When I saw Jesus' blood, I realized all the evil I had done. I knew that only His blood could wash away sins. I asked Him to forgive me, and I made Him my guru, my Lord. And now I am a testimony for Jesus in my village. This is the power of this gospel when it's presented simply, powerfully, visually. It'll stand on its own. Doesn't need explaining. It needs presenting. It needs to be told. Jesus came. He suffered. He died. He rose again. He ascended. He said He's coming back again. That good news will transform people's lives as it did Nagama's that day. And I'll tell you this, she found in a few moments what Augustine and Wesley and Luther and many others struggled, and even us moderns have struggled to find over long periods of time because of the barriers that we have allowed to be set up in our mind. But her mind was free of all of that. She knew only Jesus' blood could wash away sins. Only He could be Lord of her life. And she understood that the just will live by faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That only Jesus matters. And in that moment, before she'd been taught anything, Nagama was counted righteous in God's sight. We are in this first Sunday of the Lent now. We're looking at Jesus' temptation. In the movie, there's a long scene about Jesus being in the temptation. So the villagers understand what Jesus went through in suffering in our place. And they understand that He overcame and that He defeated. What the first Adam couldn't do, only lay upon us sin and death, Jesus did for us. He set us free and gave us life. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So this movie conveys to them the power of the gospel, the truth of the gospel. And the next one I want to share with you is the story of a Tamil actor. Tamil is one of the major languages of India. This man was a famous actor who came to faith watching this movie. And I heard about him and I wanted to go see him and get his testimony. So one friend I knew in Chennai knew him, and we went to his office. And the man, immediately when we came in the door, he said, "You can't, only Jesus matters, nothing else matters." He invited us in. We sat down. There was a big writing across on the wall behind his desk, and these words: "Christ died for our sins." And he began to preach to us. Oh, he said, "Christ died for our sins." He says, "Even the Christians don't understand this. They don't understand." And he was telling me this. And I said, I was thinking, this is a famous movie actor, one of the famous movie actors in India. I said, "Well, yes, I agree that we need to understand this." I said, "I believe you came to know Jesus Christ through a movie." "Yes," he said, "movie, black and white movie." I was so sad because our movie's in color. And I thought, well, it's another movie, and I was hoping to claim some fame here, but it wasn't. I said, "No, I think it's in color." He said, no, black and white." I said, "Color." He picked up the phone and he called Prasad Laboratory, the biggest film laboratory in Asia, who handled all of our masters and made our film prints. I said, "Yes, talk to Mr. Prasad." He said, "Prasad, Karnama Yadu," that's the name of it in Telugu, in Dayasaga in Hindi. He said, "Color, black and white." "Ah, color." He hung up the phone. I said, "Yes, it's color. It's a wonderful movie." He said, "Yes, yes." I said, we have the world rights to this movie. We want to show it in India." Oh, he jumped up from his seat and he came towards me almost trembling. And he began to, I guess we would call it prophesy, because he began to say, "You think you're only to take this into a few places in India. No, you must take this into," and he began to name all of many different places. Then he said Malaysia and Indonesia, and started naming off the country. And then he was just overcome with emotion, and as he got 3 feet in front of me, I was sitting on the bench there, he said, "Oh my God, my God, my God, crows and crows," that means millions, "crows and crows will come to know Jesus. You must do this. You must do this." And he just exhorted me. And I realized the power of the gospel, and only Jesus matters. We didn't tell him about anything else in the movie, but all about Jesus. The third thing is that we have the great joy of being Christ's ambassadors. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are in his place, reconciling the world to God." So every one of our teams go out to tell the good news and tell them God loves you. He wants you to be with him. You know, the message comes and reconciling those people. I had a friend named P.K. Rajans that I got to work with me on making this little promotional video for my friend Ernest. And PK and I had traveled for 3 weeks and we were exhausted. We were so tired. I could barely stand up. And we were in this little airport, crowded. There were dogs and goats and bags and people. In those days, every ticket you bought, you had to use a dial-up phone. And there were no computers, no cell phones. And there wasn't any place to lie down. There was nothing. You know, you could just stand, and it was hot and just very uncomfortable. I said to PK, "Please, can we find some place we can go where I can stretch out? I'm just so tired. I don't think I can go any further." He said, "No, there's no place." I said, "There must be." He said, "Well, there is a VIP lounge, they call it, but we can't go in there because we're just ordinary travelers." I said, "Well, let's just go try." He said, "They won't let us in." "Let's just try." So we went over through the crowd and we got down this hall, and there was a door, a double door, nicely carved wooden doors. And there was a guard standing here and a guard standing here facing each other in their uniform at kind of attention. And it was very noisy, crowds everywhere. And my friend leaned over to one of the guards and asked this question, "May we come in?" And I thought, oh boy, I don't know what's going to happen next. They'll probably say, "Who are you?" You know, if we tell them we're missionaries or we're preachers or something, they'll say, "Get lost." And the guard said, who are you? And my friend PK said, we are ambassadors. And then he added, of the Most High God. And to my surprise, that guard did this. He was standing there. He saluted us. He clicked his heels and he did like this. Ushered us into the VIP lounge. Just because my friend said we are ambassadors of the Most High God. And I think we don't understand, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Christ, that we are in Christ's place when we become believers ourselves. We are his ambassadors. We have the glorious privilege of sharing the story of Jesus and his love in an effective, culturally relevant manner. We may have learned how to do it in America, but what we do here doesn't always work everywhere else. But I can tell you this, when we show this All Indian Acted Life of Christ movie in these villages, and these people come and sit, whether they're in a prison, a school, an orphanage, a hospital, a business, an outdoor showing where there are 2,000 people, many of them respond and they say, can this Jesus help me? Then Keturatam was one of those people. He was a leper with oozing sores all over his body. He was put away into a separate hut and kept there, and they fed him. He lost his family, his children, his job. He was dying from leprosy. And he heard the announcement, come and see the story of the greatest prophet who ever lived. It's going to be shown in this field in the village at 8 o'clock tonight. And he wondered how he could get there. He slipped out of this hut and he went through the shadows in the buildings, and he finally got to the opening where the film was being shown. There was a big tree, a banyan tree. You've seen them, the roots drop down from the limbs and form many more trees, and some of them will grow as wide as from here to that wall, and you can actually get inside and hide yourself. And he stood inside of the roots of this banyan tree and watched the movie from a distance behind the crowd. When the crowd dismissed and the film was over and the team was taking down the screen and the projection system, then Keturatam hobbled out from the banyan tree, and he came over to P.M. Pulsum, the leader of our team, and he asked him, as P.M. turned around, here's this wretched leper. Sir, can this Jesus help me? And P.M. Pulsum said, yes, yes. He prayed with him then and there. He got him medical treatment. He took him in. And when I met P.M. Pulsum and embraced him as my brother in Christ, he proudly took off his shirt to show me all of the places where he had leprosy at one time, but no longer, and the scars on his face and on his back and his legs. And now he was a serving Christ in a church that we had helped form, and he had his family back. This power of the gospel, I ask, is the power of the gospel at work in my life today, in your life today? Is Jesus all that matters? And am I truly his ambassador in his place? Oh, Lord, grant it. May it be so for every one of us today. The Lord be with you. Thank you for letting me share this morning.